Hey everyone, this is Anthony Fleming, Senior Pastor of Church Alive, praying that this message is fresh, real, and powerful in your mind, your heart, your family, every part of your life. If you enjoy these messages, subscribe to it, share it with a friend to build their faith. God bless you as you lean in to the power and presence of God's Word.
Can we give Jesus a big hand this morning? He's worthy of our praise. He is the reason for our being. Amen. It's so good to be here. I'm going to ask my wife to come up and she's going to open in prayer with me. Whoa. 5 foot. I probably should have got you to walk around there. But honestly, this is one of our favorite churches in the world. And we don't just say that. The last time I was here, before COVID, Canada sort of locked us up for a while, and all we did was eat in Canada. And so that's good. There's nothing else to do when they lock you up. That's why we came to the land of freedom. Amen. I mean, I'm Australian at the end of the day. We don't like being told what to do, so we had to come to another nation that doesn't like being told what to do to be able to live here. Amen. But when I was last here, we self-proclaimed ourselves as the fun uncle and auntie of Church Alive. And so we're going to have some fun this morning. But already, the first message, can I just say, and I don't just say this all the time, that was an unbelievable message. And so you need to go back and listen to that message. It was, I'm like, wow, I feel like you just gave the whole buffet, the charcuterie board and everything. I think I'm just bringing the dessert. But I know this message, and I don't say that to downplay it, but I know this message is going to speak to us. But I believe your church is in such a season, a tension. I'm so glad your pastors are resting, because healthy pastors mean healthy church. Too many of us have been in unhealthy churches, and those of us that have been pastors have had seasons of unhealthy leadership ourselves. And this is a healthy church with a healthy season ahead. And so keep praying for them and loving on them as they come back ready for what God's got next. But I just want to pray, ask my wife to pray as we open up, because I believe God's going to do something. Who's ready for God to do something? Amen.
Vanessa, what else? All right, Holy Spirit, we thank you already for what you've done.
Thank you.
We thank you for being ushered into this room where two or three are gathered, God, in worship. And now, as we receive communion and remember the sacrifice and remember what happened on the cross and remember what happened in your resurrection, Lord Jesus, I pray now under the announcement and proclamation of your gospel of good news, I pray there would be an activation today. God, yes, it would not just be an impartation, but an activation. God, I pray we would walk out of this place, God, into our everyday life, God, where you've called us beyond today, Father, that tomorrow morning there would be a new mantle, a new authority,
yes,
something on each and every one of us. And so we pray this today. God, those who are far from you or curious of you, today would you woo them towards your heart, as we heard even in the offering, your heart of a father. And so I pray this today. God, I bless this house, these people, these families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. He's so good. Is he good? Well, we love your church, love your team, love your pastors. Honestly, it's such an honor and privilege to be here right now. Before I open up my message, I just feel like for the Holy Spirit to just pray for people who are suffering or who are challenged with confidence right now. That either you are challenged with being confident, or you're having a crisis of confidence at the moment, because this message is really going to speak to you. But I want to pray for you first, so your heart is ready to receive what God wants to speak. If that's you, would you just raise your hands to God as an act of surrender? Because there are different seasons, different moments of lack of confidence that we have, and I just believe there's going to be a Holy Ghost impartation in this room for this. Father, I just thank you that God, we can walk out godly confidence. And Father, I don't know everybody's story. I only really know mine. And God, you turned up in my greatest seasons and needs, and you will for them as well. God, there are new seasons, new chapters for people here, new territory to take, new pain to come out from, and challenges to go right into with the grace and strength of God to be able to fulfill the calling that you've placed on them. Father, I just pray for a Holy Spirit impartation. Let them know that you are our source of confidence. It comes from our identity in you, knowing that you are with us, you are for us, carrying, knowing the person, carrying the presence and the power of Christ everywhere we go. And so, Father, I just pray right now for those that were vulnerable enough to go, yes, this is a word for me. Holy Spirit, I need you for this next day, this next week, this next month, maybe this next year. Father, I just pray for confidence, for there to be an impartation, and literally this week to see a turnaround. I see people literally turning up to their boss's door and asking for an appointment so they can have a raise. I see somebody going for a contract that they weren't confident enough to step into, and seeing that come to pass. I see people reaching out with a broken relationship and seeing restoration because of the confidence they have to do what they know you've already spoken to them about. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you give him one more hand of praise, church? He's so good. He's so good. Well, you could take a seat, give your neighbor a high five and say, I am blessed to be sitting next to you. And hopefully I just helped a brother or a sister out right there. You've been waiting for that high five, that touch, to go, yes, we know each other now. So I want to speak. Vanessa, last service, spoke about new territory. Great message. I encourage you to go back and listen to that, taking new territory. I want to talk about how you are a triple threat. Say after me, I'm a triple threat. Now say it like you mean it. I'm a triple threat. Title of my message is Your Triple Threat Calling. Your Triple Threat Calling. Vanessa and I have stepped out recently into what we're calling our midlife awakening. You've got two choices in your 40s to 50s. It's to either have a crisis or to have an awakening. It's like a recalibration of, okay, what? And a lot of you will know that what got you to your 40s can't take you into your 50s and your 60s and your 70s. What got you there all of a sudden doesn't work anymore. You've got to go and learn new skills, get back on the altar of to the Lord and ask what His requirement of you is, to learn and dream again, to go through some growth, to learn and to be challenged to step into new things. And so Vanessa and I serving God in this next chapter after pioneering in Australia, Chicago, Bali, Canada, and spending a year of just a restoration, really, of a year in and a recalibration of our calling in America, which we so dearly love. And I believe it, that the best days of America are ahead of it. I'm never going to be that person that talks negative about the future of America. Because if you know the history of America, then you can know what the future of America can be. And in the greatest crisis can become the greatest opportunity. We have lived with so much prosperity here. Some of this is great for Americans to realize they need Jesus again. And so I believe the greatest chapter, the greatest season of America is ahead of it. But we also need torchbearers to keep the lights strong. And to, because I believe God has chosen America in this season, and I pray for many others, to be a model for the earth of the house of God and for revival. And so for Vanessa and I, we've really felt going back to care for our parents. One of the greatest promises of the Bible is to honor your parents and to care for them. So we, although that's going to be challenging at times, I love our parents, but of course, like I'm challenging to my kids, they can be challenging to me. we believe to go back to Australia and launch new ventures. And you can see all of that. Hoy's Global Leadership is our new company that we've started to help and serve. Well, Hoy's Ministries is our ministry that we'll be engaging in a whole new season. And I just believe that for us, and I believe for you, that there's always new chapters and new seasons. But it comes with a fresh confidence. And I just want to speak a fresh confidence connected with your calling, understanding your identity that comes with what God wants from you and requires from you and empowers you in new seasons and new chapters. You know, my youngest daughter, my 13-year-old, her name's Sahara. We have five children. We unfortunately lost one early to heaven, our fourth child, Anastasia Zoe. And after we went through the grief of that, we were like, okay, whoever comes next, there's going to be something incredible on their life. Because we just knew that what God was orchestrating was going to be powerful. And what came into the earth was Sahara Justice. And she came in with some of the greatest joy and expectation of any child that I've ever seen. I mean, we call her our rainbows and unicorns child. She just sees everything as brilliant. She could smack her head on a brick wall and laugh and be like, "Woo, that was fun. What next?" She can have like the greatest moment, you know, the greatest highlight of her life, and within 3 seconds be looking for what the next greatest highlight will be. She's just that personality. And she came to me recently and she said, "Dad, you know that I want to be an actress." And I'm like, "I've known from the day you were born." Pretty much that's, "And you are the best actress that I have ever met or ever seen. So I know you want to be an actress." But she goes, "Dad, but I want more than that." She goes, "I want to be a triple threat." And I said, "What is a triple threat?" And she goes, "Well, I don't want to just be an actress, but I want to be able to act. I want to be able to sing. I want to be able to dance. If I can do those three, I'm ahead of all of the game." I looked at her as a proud dad moment and thought, "I want to be the dad of a triple threat. This is going to be awesome." But what I began to realize, and it's actually the beginning of a book that I want to write, is that Jesus was the ultimate triple threat. And then because Jesus is a triple threat, the mandate he gave us was to go and do greater things than what he did. Therefore, we're triple threats. We are called to be triple threats. And I think sometimes we lose confidence when we don't understand the mantles that God has put on us.
Yeah, that's good.
And we begin to believe lies. Have you ever believed in a lie?
Yeah.
I have. I believed for most of my life that I could only be one thing.
Yeah.
Well, this is the box that you need to fit into. You're only this. You're only that. What I love about your pastors is that they don't just fit into one box. Like Transform the Movement, it's connected to this church, but it goes beyond this church. I love that. I pray your pastors have influence all over the world because of that. I hope they're blessed because of that. I hope it opens up doors for them because of that, because look at the lives changed through this ministry in this church. I've been in a church for the last year that launched Transform the Movement. I was there from the beginning and I saw it over the last two seasons of them implementing it and the transformation of that church and those men. I'm telling you, I've never seen something like that in my ministry life. But I love that Pastor Anthony didn't say, "Well, I'm just this. This is all I can do." He's like, "No, God, you've got other things on me as well. I am called to have influence in the church and outside of the church. I'm called to have influence not just in my church, but in other churches as well." But so many times we believe lies that we're just.
Yeah.
That we're just this, or we're just that, or we can just have this, or we can just have that, or we can just live here, or we can just live there. I want to get rid of the just. I want to get rid of the just and open up the box to realize there is so much more. Fyodor Dostoevsky, great guy. Don't know him, but I'm sure he's awesome. But he said something really powerful. Lying to ourselves is more deeply ingrained than lying to others. I read that and I thought it's true. I believe for my life, I can't speak for you. But for my life, I've realized I believe more lies that I've spoken over my life than I believe lies that have been spoken over me. The lies that I have spoken over my life that I have believed are actually more than what people have spoken lies about me. So I need to make sure I'm anchored in the truth of what I believe about myself. You see, John 8, verse 31 to 32 says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you, or another translation says, makes you free. What's some of the biggest challenges of mankind? The lack of living in true freedom. Yeah. When you're living in freedom, peace comes. Yeah. When you're living in freedom, life comes. Freedom is what it's all about. That's why I love it's one of the mandates of America, is to live free. That we are called to live free, but how bound do we find ourselves sometimes? And I think, my thoughts are, a lot of it has come from what we've told ourselves, what we've believed ourselves, what we've chosen to be comfortable in ourselves. But Jesus can cause us to break free. You see, knowing the truth freed the disciples from deception, errors, and heresies. It's all about the truth. It kept them living in freedom. That's the truth. What the truth does. It liberates us to live in freedom. Who wants to live free? Who wants to live free financially? Come on, somebody. Blessed to bless. I believe if people don't want to live freedom financially, they're the most selfish people on the planet. Because I'm not called to just look after my table. I'm called to look after multiple tables in life. Blessed to bless is a whole mindset of more than just me, but for others as well. I want to be free when it comes to my relationships. I don't want to always be thinking about, where is Vanessa and what is she doing? And is she doing the wrong thing? Or, no, I want to have freedom in my relationships, security and confidence with my children. That the seed that the Lord has put in my children and the seed that we have put into our children is great enough for us to have confidence in them that they're going to make right decisions. Not perfect decisions, amen? Because you and I haven't made perfect decisions. Do I have any friends in the house? And sometimes I remind parents, remember where you came from. Because sometimes the most wildest people that then find Jesus can become the most religious people when it comes to raising their children. We got to remember what Jesus did for us and the journey that we had with him and give our children that same grace. And trust the seed. Trust the seed. If we're going to live in confidence, if we're going to live the triple threat life, which I'm going to speak about in just a moment, we've got to stop living and believing the lies of the enemy over our life and the lies we've told ourselves. Sometimes lies to cause us comfort. Like, oh, I'm not a business person, so I won't start that business. So good. Even though you know God's spoken to you. Yeah. About, well, I can't be creative because I'm just not a creative person. But the Bible says that he is an awesome creative God, and we're made in the image and likeness of that awesome creative God. Therefore, we are awesome and creative as well in him. So our comfort and our lie wants to tell us, well, that's too hard, that's too difficult. I make all of these assumptions about my life so that I don't have to step out of the boat. But God's saying, no, I've made more for you. Yeah. I've made more for you. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 to 10 says, but you are a chosen people. Can everyone say, I'm a chosen person? You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I mean, when I read this scripture, are we reminded about how chosen we are? Or just do we look to the person next to us and look at the opportunities of their life and look at the stories of their life and compare ours and start to believe lies that aren't true? Or do we look to God and say it has nothing to do with, let's be inspired by the person next to us? So what I love about the culture of America is that you're inspired by each other. You don't sort of envy. You don't put down like the nations we've come from. You inspired by what somebody else does to be able to move forwards, to realize your journey is different to the person's next to you. Your pain is different to the person's next to you. Your opportunity is different to the person's next to you. Realizing we're chosen, where he has blessed us and called us to be a royal priesthood, to step out into what he has called us to be able to do. I mean, imagine when Jesus died, how disappointed the disciples would have been. They were looking for an army warrior to rise up and to wipe out the Romans and to bring back the glory of Israel again. And there's just silence. What I love about Jesus is that when he rose again from the dead, he proved a point. You see, when he rose again from the dead, the next 40 days and 40 nights after his death, burial, and resurrection, he spent time walking the earth again, showing up in the lives of people that knew and loved him. He was in their minds fully and now, fully now the ultimate triple threat. You see, his death, his burial, his resurrection had proved that he was the prophet, that he was the priest, and he was the king. I want to tell you this morning that you're his prophet. I want to tell you this morning that you're his priest. And I want to tell you this morning that you're his king. And these are godly offices that we are called to live out in our everyday life. You see, in the Old Testament, there are three different kinds of people that take center stage in the story of God's salvation of his people Israel. They're prophets, priests, and kings. There are real offices taken by real people. And I think we've skipped some of these in our lives as Christ followers, that I think if we take on board even this week, this month, this year, as we step out into our families, our communities, our marketplace, in the church, with the confidence of God, you will see things begin to shift. Yeah. Because he's called you to be a prophet. Yeah. You see, a prophet rebuked sin, proclaimed mercy to the crushed, and interpreted events of the past, present, and future. We need modern day seers. People that are seeing the future for the marketplace. Man, I'm sick of you like your Elon Musks being the ones that the world are looking to and being inspired by. I pray he gets saved. Yeah. I love Elon Musk. I love his intellect. I love his guts to step out and to start new things. And when people think, you know, everything is against him, he comes up with something that all of a sudden booms and changes the world. But I want to see Christ followers stepping into those roles. I want to see, when it comes to AI, the Christian, the church, people in the house of God leading in those areas. Not just leading behind, but being at the front. Prophets in the world, like Jesus was, who then, as they build influence, speak about the gospel and bring people to the cross of Christ. We need prophets. Hebrews 1 verse 1 to 2 says, in the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. Jesus was the prophet. We need prophets more than ever. And many people at times think, well, who can I be that in the church? And we need prophets in the church, but we need more prophets in the marketplace. Yeah. We need more prophets in our communities, in our families. There are times and especially recently with our family, where I've had to step into that prophet office and say, hey, this is where we're going. Yeah. This is what I see. This is what God can do. This is what is possible. We need to see prophets. You are called to be his prophet. I remember one of our business guys in our church, very conservative guy, was a vice president of a bank. He always wanted to be the president of a bank. And he came to me and he said, there's this opportunity that's come up with being one of the presidents of a division of this bank. I just don't know if I have the confidence for it. And I said, friend, trust God. Go to God with it and say, God, if this is for me, give me a sign, give me a dream, give me a vision. And he'll tell you what you need to know to be able to step out if this is what God's calling you to. Well, he went to bed that night. He called me the next day. He said, Andrew, I've never had a vision in my life. But God gave me this vision on how I could lead this side of the business for the bank. He goes, he's given me intricate details of what to do. And I'm going to pitch it to the president. I've asked for an appointment because I want to go for this job. He sat down. He shared the vision with the president. The president and one of the other presidents looked at him and said, like, who are you? Where have you been? This is not the person that we know. He got the job. He implemented the strategy. And he took the business forward like never before. We need prophets, not just in the church. We need prophets in the marketplace. We need prophets in our communities. Our communities need prophets more than ever. Because, friend, you're called to be a prophet. You're a triple threat. Many times we just look at the priest or even the king, but we need prophets in our communities, in our families, and in our marketplaces. So Jesus was a true prophet, but he was also a priest. He was also a priest. What was a priest? A priest was a mediator or bridge between God and mankind. Again, I want to apply this message to our families, to our communities, and to our marketplace, because the greatest revival actually isn't going to happen in the church. I believe the greatest revival is going to happen outside of the church. The fire starts here, but you take it with you on your Monday, your Tuesday, your Wednesday, your Thursday, and your Friday. And then in the cities that you are, in the communities that you are, in the suburbs that you are, those fires begin to burn together. The greatest revivals we'll ever see is outside of the church. It may start inside the church, but we've got to take it out from the seats to the streets. And I want this message. Come on, somebody. I want to believe for this message to burn within your heart and to convict us, not to condemn us. Condemnation comes from the enemy. Conviction comes from God. When my wife will tell me something that's true, I want to call her the enemy sometimes because of that. But when I know it's the Holy Spirit, I will submit to that and be like, that is good for me. I need to go and process that. But I need to let that go deep so I can live it out. Friend, you're called to be a priest. Stop trying to live anything differently. God wants to give you words, strategies, the voice of the Holy Spirit to take to your families, men, fathers, mothers. He's given you words for your children. He's given you words for your greater family to step into, to be able to lead when somebody else doesn't step up. Young adults in universities, he's given you the word to be able to lead and to bring to people, but he's also called you to be a priest. You're a triple threat. He's called you to be a priest, to be able to mediate. I mean, when it comes to the marketplace, when there's just crises happening, we need a mediator. Yeah. We need a peacemaker, someone with confidence to be able to walk in and say, hey, I know that there is conflict right now, but how can we bring this together? When it comes to our communities, and we've seen this in the last couple of years, especially with great conflict happening in our communities, we need Christ followers to be the torchbearers, to be able to walk in and say, hey, how can I bring us together? How can we talk? How can we bring our voices in? And how can we find solution together? Peacemakers. Yeah. We're called to be priests. I'm telling you, in the marketplace, in our community, they need more priests than ever before, dressed like you and I, to come in and to bring the voice and the word of the Lord, and to bring collaboration and unity and connection. Our world is more disconnected than it ever has been. It needs priests. You see, Jesus was the ultimate priest. Hebrews 4 verse 14, to 16 says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to emphasize with our weaknesses, but we do have one that has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence." Everyone say confidence. "So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Friend, you're called to be a prophet, but you're also called to be a priest. We're called to bring peace to the people in our world, into the market, into the platforms that God has placed us in to be Jesus's priest. But he wasn't just the ultimate priest. He was also the ultimate king. And this is where some people shy away from. Some people will look at where they grew up, what cultures they've come from, and they'll only look for the small bread. In Montreal, there is a term that says in French, "I was only born for small bread," in Quebec. And one of our missions in being in Montreal for the time that we were there is to help people to break free from the small bread into the wide oceans that God has called us to. You are called to be so blessed. You are called to be able to go beyond your own table onto filling others, to be able to build the house of God. And not just buildings, because buildings are great, but buildings are all about how we house the people of God and the people that are called to find Christ for themselves. That's what buildings are all about. I love nice buildings. I love buildings. But it's all about how we house the revivals that God wants to fulfill through the house. But we're called to be kings, not just financially, but also of influence. So again, in your family, in your community, in the marketplace, he's called us to have influence. He's called us to have the prophet anointing. He's called us to have the priestly anointing. But he's also called us to have the king anointing. Because if you don't step up, who will? If my wife and I don't step up in our family, one of our kids will. And they're not ready for that yet. If I don't step up in my community, somebody else will. And then I have to live with what that community then chooses to go with. Yeah. We look at our nations. We have what we've chosen to allow. Yeah. That's why I believe every believer should be involved in politics in some way. We just don't need to blast it on our social media every day. Sometimes silent politics is the best politics, to be more involved than just having a say. But we're called to be kings in the marketplace. We're called to be priests. We're called to be prophets. Friend, Jesus was the ultimate triple threat. And I think I believe the church needs to step into this revelation more than ever before. To not just be, well, I'm a prophet, but they're the priest and they're the king. And again, we're not looking at who the person next to us has and what they do and what their calling is. I'm just called to look at what God's called me to do, what the abundance God's called me to be able to provide, the influence God's given me that's different to the person next to me. I remember having a guy in my church who was he was the world kickboxing champion. I could never do what he does. I'd get knocked out in 5 seconds. But what I was called to do was to be his pastor at the time. And so I would go to his tournaments. I'd be sitting next to all interesting people at the tables. I remember one guy leaning over to confess something, and I said, "Dude, I don't want to hear it, because then I'm liable. But we'll have a coffee, and we'll work this out." But I'd go down before his fight, underneath in the basement where he'd prepare, and we'd pray. And I'd stand with him and I'd say, "Hey, this is what God's called you to." Like I prayed for people in the military, prayed for people in some of the highest levels of the military here in America, and stood with them and said, "Hey, this is what you're called to do. We're going to pray for safety. We're also going to pray for God's wisdom. We're going to pray for you to fulfill the call that he has on your life, which in your particular case is to protect this nation and the nations of the world. For my friend who was a kickboxer, was to survive, to win, but then also have influence, which he did when he got the microphone. Friend, you're called to be a prophet, priest, and king. But here's what I want to leave you with. And it really falls into what Vanessa's latest book is on boldness. Is you've got to be bold. Is you've got to be bold. You've got to believe. You've got to believe in yourself. You've got to be open to the Holy Spirit. You've got to learn. You've got to keep growing. I'm 48, just turned 48, and I feel like I know nothing at the moment. There is so much that I'm learning and wanting to develop and grow in. I never want to be that person that's 60, 70, 80 and think that I've learned everything and done everything. I want to be that 85-year-old that's jumping out of planes, maybe taking a Prozac before out or something, but because that is one of my greatest fears, and my next chapter of my life is to overcome my fears time after time as I can. But I want to be always looking at what's fresh, what's new, spending time with younger people and older people and learning their stories. Stories from 15-year-olds and stories from 95-year-olds and everyone in between. Continually learn and then to dare to say, hey, if I have breath and I have life, even if that business didn't work, even if that relationship didn't work out, I'm going to keep stepping out of the boat. I'm going to keep stepping out of the boat. And here's what I've learned is when I've stepped out of the boat, either we launch and God does something great, or I get wet, but I don't die. And all I need to do is swim back to shore, dry off, and find another boat. Keep daring. Keep stepping out. Because he's called you to be a triple threat. Friend, everyone say after me, I'm a prophet. I'm a priest. I'm a king. One more time. I'm a prophet. I'm a priest. I'm a king. Because I'm a triple threat. Will you be bold enough in the next 5 months as you go to wherever God places you and go, God, is this a prophet moment? Is this a priest moment? Is this a king moment? Because I'm bold. If that's a word for you, would you stand on your feet? If that's a word for you, raise your hands to King Jesus, because I'm out of time. Father, I thank you that you are the ultimate triple threat. You died, Father God, but you rose again from the dead. You conquered hell and you rose up as the ultimate prophet, priest, and king. That mantle is on every single one of us. God, in our everyday as parents, as spouses, those we're in relationships with, in friendships, in our community, in our marketplace, with our families, we're called to be priests. Bring the word in all different ways and shapes and forms. We're called to be priests, peacemakers, bringing people together and serving others. And we're called to be kings, to protect, to provide, to have influence, to lead. Father, you've called that upon every single one of us with boldness. Father, I pray for an extra level of boldness. It starts with confidence. Confidence leads to boldness. And God, I'm believing for the next 5 months to take some of the biggest risks with wisdom, with smart people around us, but to launch that boat. Maybe there's a boat that's been sitting on the dock for way too long. The Lord is calling you to get in and to launch. And if we get wet, well, we swim back to shore, dust ourselves off, find another boat. Because God, you called us to boldness. Father, I just pray that over every single person, miracles and testimonies in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you give the Lord one more big hand of praise? He's so good. Man, he's good. So here's the thing, in the next 30 seconds, I want to ask you where you stand with Jesus. I know where Jesus stands with you. The Bible says he loves you. He is for you. Actually, before you could ever love him, he first loved you. That's who he is, and that's what he does. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've said, the Bible says he throws your past as far as the east is from the west, gives you a brand new beginning, and loves you through it, no matter what. So friend, if you're not right with God, I'm not saying you had a bad night last night or you did something wrong. You go to a leader, you go to a friend, you confess that, you get help with that. You give grace to yourself, step back up, because you're already a Christ follower. But I'm talking about those that are disconnected to Jesus, that you're not right with him. You're not in a relationship with him. Either you never have been, or you have been, but for whatever reason, you're not now. What you felt when you first walked in, through the worship, through the word, it's the love and the presence of Jesus. He loves you so much, friend. He's been calling you, inviting you in. So I want to pray a simple but a powerful prayer in a moment that's an invitation to invite Jesus in. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that he will come in. It's a promise that you can take to the bank. And so, friend, I'm going to count to three. And at the end of three, if you'd like me to include you in this prayer, I just want you to raise your hand so I can see it and just to show how easy it is. Could everyone just raise their hand all throughout this room just to break the ice so that people, thank you, could put your hand back down. If you could close your eyes and bow your heads. Well, I'm going to ask you if this prayer is for you. Then I want you to raise your hand at the count of three. Raise it up high so I can see it, and then we're going to pray. Friend, one, he loves you. Never forget it. Two, take one step towards him. He'll take 10,000 steps towards you. I've already got hands going up. Keep them up for me if you would, friend. Three. If that's you, hand over there, 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 there. All throughout. Too many to count. Amazing. Let's pray this prayer after me because we're a community. We're a family. Even if this is your first time, you're part of this family and this community now. Let's pray this prayer. Jesus, thank you for loving me and dying on the cross for my freedom. Today, I say yes to you. I say yes to your grace. Yes to your freedom. Yes to your forgiveness. Forgiveness of all of my sins and all of my mistakes. I choose you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give one more this morning?